Proverbs chapter 29, please. Proverbs chapter 29, just one verse tonight. As most of you will know in the church, this is my last night of being in the 40s. Tomorrow's a sad day. I get the old 5-0, and it's downhill from there after. Isn't that right, Robert? It's downhill after that. But someone in the prayer meeting prayed earlier on about one birthday won't do. And I thank the Lord I have a second birthday. Because on the 12th of October 1986, I was sitting in a meeting like this and under conviction of sin. I was saved by the grace of God. But I believe I nearly missed it. There's a verse of scripture, it's this verse in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1 that the Lord had planted in my heart. I can never remember learning it, but I do remember it being preached on many times, and it's something that the Spirit of God just burned in my heart, and it never left me. Even when I wasn't going to meetings or going to church, I always had this great fear. Proverbs 29 verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And that was a verse that the Lord used to speak to my heart. I felt that I had gone too far. Because of all the privileges and all the opportunities and all the times I walked out of meetings like this and a lot of youth meetings and heard the gospel faithfully preached, and I could look getting into my 20s and I still wasn't saved. And I really felt in my heart that the Lord was finished with me and God had given up. But you know, God is gracious and merciful, and I believe on that night he gave me another opportunity. And I seized it with both arms by faith. For it was a birthday I nearly missed. And I felt the Lord would have me to speak on this difficult text this evening. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's about 9 months, I think, from the Malaysian plane MH370 disappeared. They searched millions of square miles. In fact, at one time they searched 3 million square miles looking for the wreckage. As far as I'm aware, they're still searching but have found nothing. And by and large, most people have given up hope of ever finding anyone or ever knowing what really happened that plane. Sometimes you hear about someone being lost or an accident or something happened at sea, and the search and rescue's out and they're looking for someone, and there comes that point when they call off the search and rescue. Must be heartbreaking for families when they say, because of perhaps outward circumstances, because of a time factor, they feel there's no point in going on. I have a friend, a good friend of mine at school. Him and I at times would have been best friends. He's been missing now for a number of years, and they're no longer looking for him. They're just looking to find out where he's buried. And they've given up ever finding him. There's no more search and rescue. And you know, God is into search and rescue. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we thank God for it. But let me say this, and I say it lovingly and I say it graciously. There comes a time when God calls off the search and rescue. God says enough is enough. He's been searching. He's been willing to save. And you've said no, no, no. God says time's up, and he calls off the search and rescue. It's possible tonight that God could drop you and say enough's enough. And that's what I feared in my life, and that's what I want to try and get across to someone, maybe some few in the meeting this evening. This is a biblical truth. In Romans chapter 1 we read about man and how man has no excuse, because even in creation he can witness the eternal power and Godhead, and Paul actually just used those words that they are without excuse, but man didn't want God. And then when you read on down Romans chapter 1, we read that wherefore God also gave them up. Verse 26, God gave them up. Verse 28, God gave them up. God called off the search and rescue and said, okay, you can go to hell. And God just let them go. God can call off his search and rescue at any moment. Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon said, speaking for the Lord, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. They didn't want the Lord. And then later on he says, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. What a thought. What a thought that there could be those calling upon the Lord, but they've left it too late. And God says, I won't answer. Perhaps like those outside the ark, when the ark was shut and the rain came, they realized that old Noah was right. And all the laughing and all the mocking and all the smart alecks who felt that this was nonsense, as the rain began to come down, they realized that God was right. And they'd missed the opportunity. And for them, God called off the search and rescue. God spoke to Adam. You'll remember in Genesis 3 when he said, where art thou? God even spoke to Cain when he said, where is Abel thy brother? God spoke to many people through the life of Enoch, because we read that Enoch walked with God. And what a testimony, what a challenge. And God was speaking and speaking, and yet when we get to Genesis 6, we discover that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God had been speaking, and God had been striving. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God says, your time's nearly up, and I'm going to call off the search and rescue. O sinner, the spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore, but leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore? King Herod was a man that God spoke to. You know, John the Baptist witnessed to him. He realized he was a sinner. John said, Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. He was conscious of his sin. He was conscious of his need. Because we read in Mark 6:20 that he did many things. I don't know what he did, but he didn't do the right thing. He was moved by it. He wanted to do the right thing, but he didn't. And then you remember how the girl came in and danced before him, and her mum said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And the scripture says he would not reject her. And he brought the man of God, the voice of God. And he had the man of God's head chopped off. And he silenced the voice of God. Later on, he's brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked the Lord some questions. Then he questioned him with many words. Luke 23 verse 9. But listen. But he, the Lord Jesus, answered him nothing. And God dropped him. And God called off the search and rescue for Herod. There was a time he spoke to him. There was a time he was convicted. There was a time that Herod wanted to be saved. But Herod rejected the Lord and went for the crowd and went for popularity. He didn't want to lose face. And God dropped him. And Herod could never be saved from that moment on. He was still alive, but he might as well already have been in hell. And let me say to you tonight, without Christ, God can drop you. And God can call off the search and rescue at any time. Yes, he said tonight, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. That wasn't for Herod at that point. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, but not for Herod. He had overstepped the mark, and God said, enough's enough. And God called off the search and rescue. And God dropped him. Look at our text this evening. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Some people believe that perhaps Solomon was thinking of King David and King Saul. And you remember how Saul wouldn't listen to David. And Saul was determined to go against God and go against David. And eventually he lost his life. He wouldn't listen to reason. That may be so. But I believe the Spirit of God has put it in the Scripture this evening, that you and I might examine this text of Scripture. God can drop you. And God can call off the search and rescue. And God can say, you're no more chance. You've missed your opportunity. You've been so privileged. You heard tonight about people in Poland. They haven't got these privileges. They haven't heard the gospel the way you have. Point something of 1%. And we live in a land that's steeped in the gospel. God's been speaking to you and you haven't responded. And God could drop you. Roland Hill used to tell about the old dog that the blacksmith brought in. And it used to sit near the anvil. The first time the dog came in and they hit the anvil and the sparks flew, the dog yelped and ran out. The next time it just went a wee bit far. Eventually the old dog never even felt the sparks. It just lay beside the anvil and it didn't even feel them, and it never moved. It became hardened to them. Do you remember a time when God spoke to you and your heart really shook? Do you remember a time when you trembled and you wanted to be saved? And you know, it passed, didn't it? And maybe tonight it runs off you like water of a duck's back. You're in danger tonight of God dropping you. I believe the fact you're here, God's given you an opportunity tonight. But I believe I must be faithful to the word of God. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Do you see the person in the text? He. You know, it's very personal tonight. You know, to think that the Lord would bring the message to the United Kingdom, what a blessing. What a blessing for the United Kingdom to hear that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to hear about heaven, to hear about hell, to hear about Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for a sinner like you and a sinner like me, to hear the wonderful invitation that the Lord extends, that you can come, you can repent, and you can be saved, and you can be saved tonight. What a blessing for that message to be in the United Kingdom. What a blessing for it to be in Ulster, these 6 wee counties. What a blessing for it to be in Rathfarnham. Just a wee town and County Down. And yet God has come to this wee town and County Down, and he's brought the message of Christ and him crucified. He's brought the message of Jesus, that I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But listen, he's come into your home. And maybe some of your family are saved. And God has spoken to you in your home. And God has spoken to you personally. It's not just that the message has come to the United Kingdom and the message has come to Northern Ireland or even this island. The message has come to you personally. What a privilege tonight. What a privilege to hear the wonderful news that Christ Jesus can save you tonight, can take away your sin and make you fit for heaven and fit for home. Do you see how personal it is? He. Do you see the persistence? Because it says, he that being often. You know, the Lord hasn't just spoken to you once and then walked away and left you. Sometimes we would do that if we offered someone something and they snubbed us. We would say, well, you can have it your own way. But the Lord's more gracious and he's long-suffering and he's been so patient. For some of you, you can look back to Sunday school days. And God spoke to you sitting in a little group of children. And God spoke to you at Sunday school and spoke to you in Good News Club. And as you get up into your teens, God spoke to you in youth meetings and gospel meetings. And God spoke to you in the church, and God spoke to you in your teens and spoke to you in your 20s. And God has spoken to you so many times over and over and over again. He hasn't just spoken once. He that being often. And often you've heard the gospel. Often you've realized. Often you've felt that need to be saved. But you're still not saved tonight. See the person, he. See the persistence, he that being often. You see the problem, he that being often reproved. And God has revealed the need to you. God has spoken to you. God has challenged you. God has reproved you. He reproves through his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And God spoke through his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God has challenged you through his word. As you've listened to the word of God being taught, God has spoken and convicted you and reproved you through the Spirit of God. Because when he has come, Jesus said, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You will know you're a sinner. You'll know you're not righteous. You'll know that the judgment has taken place on Christ at Calvary, that you don't have to be judged. And God has reproved you through the Word, has reproved you through the Holy Spirit. God has reproved you through natural disasters and man-made tragedies. God speaks through these things. In Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus spoke about a terrorist attack. That's what I would call it, although it was government-backed, when many were slaughtered. And then he spoke about an accident where these towers fell and people were destroyed. And God said to them, repent! Repent. And God spoke through natural disasters. God spoke through man-made tragedies. And maybe you've seen some, witnessed some. Maybe you've nearly been in one. And God has spoken to you through it. He's reproved you through his word, through the Spirit of God, through tragedies, through disasters. God has maybe spoken to you through illness. Maybe a friend. You've been lying on your back and you've realized that you'll not be here forever. You realize that you're not immortal. that there is a time coming when you will leave this scene of time. Or maybe you've witnessed the death of someone else and God has spoken to you. And God has spoken to you in so many ways, at so many times. You see, you've been reproved and you know tonight that you need to be saved. You see how personal it is, he. You see the persistence, he that been often. You see the problem, he that been often reproved. But then you see the procrastination hardeneth his neck. I'm told in the original this was used of an animal that had a wooden yoke on it. And it had two straps, I think, and the man would stand behind and control it. And if he pulled it this way, it would hit the neck of the animal and the animal would go in that direction. If he pulled it the other way, the friction would cause the animal to go in the other direction. And you know, the animal would get used with it and he would move. But sometimes there was an old animal that wouldn't move. And the neck became callous and so hard, it wouldn't take any of the advice at all. And this thing had no effect on it. Do you know all you can do with an animal like that? Slaughter it. Slaughter it, that's all you can do. And it's the same tonight for those who harden their neck against the gospel. You know, I've got sissy hands. My hands are soft. I really probably don't know what a good day's work would be. But if you see a man who's worked in the building sites, you'll see the hands are callous, they're tough. And you would know to look at them. The worker, I know when I shake hands at the door, who works outside and who's like myself, a bit of a sissy and doesn't get the hands dirty, I can tell who you are. You know, your hands get hardened. And you see a young lad on a building site on day one and he's carrying the block, and when he's finished after the first week, he's blisters everywhere. After a couple of years, it has no effect on him at all because the hands have hardened to it. And you know, your heart can harden to the voice of the Lord. And maybe the old neck's hardening tonight. Because he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. You know how Paul puts it in Ephesians 4:19? He talked about people being past feeling. In another scripture, it talks about their conscience seared like a hot iron. It's like an animal that's branded. And you know, you could touch where the animal's branded, it doesn't feel anything anymore. And it's as if your heart has been branded and you don't feel it anymore. Because you have hardened and hardened and hardened. Stephen said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. And listen, God could drop you and let you go to hell. And you need to wise up tonight. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. You see the person he, you see the persistence often, you see the problem reproved, you see the procrastination hardened his neck, and then you see the punishment shall suddenly be destroyed. Sometimes there's historical destruction in the Bible. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed them. There's eventual destruction in the Bible. The scripture talks about those who are on the broad way that leads to destruction. And you know, for some in the future, they'll die without Christ and they'll be lost. But this is different. This is personal destruction. Where you get to a point and you're very much alive physically, but you're still dead spiritually, and God says, I'm calling off the search and rescue, and God's going to drop you and say, have it your own way. You've walked past the cross, you've trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, and he says, you've gone one step too far, and God's going to drop you. That's what the scripture teaches. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Exodus 8 tells us he hardened his heart, but you know what was worse? Exodus 9 tells us that God hardened his heart. Pharaoh says, who's this God that I should listen to him? He said it once too often. God says, I'm going to show you who I am. And God hardened his neck and he hadn't a hope of ever being saved. Judas Iscariot spent 3.5 years approximately with the Lord Jesus Christ, saw the miracles, heard the messages, even at the very end when the Lord offered him the stop. I'm told that that was a sign of friendship, a building the bridge, giving him a last opportunity. You know, he walked out of that meeting and he went out into the dark. And the Lord Jesus just sat to his ground and let him go to hell because Judas had gone too far. The scripture tells us that Judas went to his own place.
because of his transgression, because of his sin. God can drop you. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. See the permanence tonight. I've nearly finished. You know, the word remedy appears 3 times in Scripture, and it's always in a negative sense. I preached before in 2 Chronicles 36 verse 16, and it's talking about the people in the days of King Zedekiah. It was a royal without a remedy. It says there was no remedy. In Proverbs 6 verse 15, it talks about a rascal without a remedy. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Here tonight, it's a rejecter without a remedy. You know, if you're a car, you're a write-off. If you're a house, you'll be condemned. Inhabitable. Good for nothing, only the bulldozer. If you're a person, it would be terminal. That's what it's like to be without remedy. No hope, no cure, no way back. I have a family member, Marcella, and I know him well. He's a diabetic and he just won't listen to medical advice. He thinks he's smarter than the doctors, and let me tell you, it's going to kill him. It's going to kill him. You go out driving and you ignore the warning signs and you just drive and ignore the signs, you know where you're going to end up. It's not going to be a happy ending. God's been speaking, God's been striving, God's been inviting, God's been urging, God's been pleading, and you're still not saved. You're still rejecting. And you're ignoring all the warning signs, you're ignoring all the advice. God's going to say, I'm going to drop you. I'm going to call off the search and rescue. And you can go to hell. You know, the sad thing is, it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus Christ came to the cross, shed his precious blood. He's offering you salvation tonight. It's absolutely free. Young people, don't make the mistake I made. And put it off and put it off and waste years. I wasted so many years, and I envy the young people here who've been away in camps and they've been out on trips and they're young and they've been out serving the Lord, and I envy them, not in a bad sense. I just wish I had been clever enough to be able to do that. But I couldn't, because I was away from the Lord, I had no interest. Wasted years. Don't waste any more years, young person. Older person, have you not sat long enough? The Lord Jesus Christ is reaching out and he wants to save you tonight. And the Lord didn't bring you in here by chance tonight. It's no fluke that you're here tonight. God brought you in to speak to you tonight, because you've waited long enough. And he's given you an opportunity tonight to be saved. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I've no doubt you've heard this little poem before. There is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, which marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen, which crosses every path, which marks the boundary in between God's mercy and God's wrath. But where is that mysterious line that may by men be crossed, beyond which God himself has sworn that he who goes is lost? An answer from the skies repeats, ye who from God depart, today, O hear his voice, today repent, and harden not your heart. A Hebrew writer said this, today, the 30th of November, 2014, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. Again, this verse, I can't get it out of my heart. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I honestly believe that God gave me a chance, an opportunity, on the 12th of October 1986. And I believe if I hadn't have taken it, I would have missed my second birthday. A birthday I nearly missed. And I know some people have missed it. But thank God tonight there's still time for you. And there's still an opportunity for you to be saved. Will you trust him tonight? Or will you just let the neck get harder and harder? And maybe someday God's going to drop you and just let you go to hell. Let's pray. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the Lord laid this message very heavily on my heart as I was preparing it. I don't think I've ever preached in that text before as a message. But God's brought you in here tonight to speak to you. And I don't want to multiply words. And I'm not going to make any emotional appeal. But I would love you to be saved tonight. But more especially, the Lord wants to save you tonight. If I can help you, I'd love to help you. Don't harden your neck lest you cross that line. And maybe even cross it tonight. Heavenly Father, speak into hearts this evening. Lord, we thank you for everyone in this meeting. But Lord, you know our burden and you know our concern. Lord, we would even say you know our heartbreak. For our heart's desire and prayer to God is that someone would be saved here tonight. God forbid that anyone would miss that second birthday and fail to be born again. Lord, will you save a precious soul or souls tonight? For we ask it in and through the name and for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only one hymn we can really sing. 314, 314. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over that awful, terrible, dreadful deadline tonight. 314, and we'll stand and sing together. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we do pray tonight that no one will pass over that deadline. Lord, tonight that you would grant them even the saving grace, that someone might find Christ here in Rathfarnham tonight. Oh Lord, do that work that man cannot do. We, Lord, readily admit that salvation is of the Lord. And so, Lord, move in a mighty way in some heart this evening, our hearts, and grant salvation blessing to come to this place. Lord, we do pray that you would be with the young people as they meet, and the Joy Foundation. We pray for the meeting to follow, for all who stay, for all who leave. We ask for journeying mercies. May your hand be graciously upon us throughout this new week. For we ask it in and through the name that is higher than any other name, the name of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ.